Welcome, everyone. We're back for another episode in 2023 for Greenwich Streets. I'm Russell Pruner, here along with my co-host brother, Mark Pruner. We're both realtors here in Greenwich working at Compass Real Estate. And we're about to discuss the best of what our hometown, Greenwich, Connecticut, has to offer and what's going on in the world of real estate. Mark, how's your new year looking?
Well, the new year would look a lot better on the real estate side if we had a lot more inventory.
We're talking about inventory already.
Yeah, inventory, inflation, and interest rates were really what drove 2022. And that's what we're going to give you a brief update on, is we had a high last year in September of 227 listings. That's compared to our previous pre-COVID low all time in 1991 of 291 listings. So our high was 60 listings below the previous all-time lows. What was incredible is we finished the year with 637 sales, and our 10-year pre-COVID average was 620. So despite the fact that inventory never got up, we had overall a better than average year for sales.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. We were down a lot in sales versus 2021 versus 2022. But I have a feeling this first at least quarter or maybe first half of the year is going to look a lot like it did last year, where if the demand is there, which we believe it is, because we had some late sales that had multiple offers on them in December, which is highly unusual. But, I really think that the market's going to sort of echo for a little while what we saw in the beginning of 2022.
I think that's exactly right. The one thing I would take or would contest is your argument that sales are down significantly from 2021. Mathematically, that's correct. But 2021 was such an abnormal year that to compare our sales this year to that year, nothing possibly in our lifetime is ever going to come close to that, even 2020. If you go back to 2019, we had 527 sales compared to 637 this year. So we're above average. The one place where we did get hammered is over $10 million, where we only had 9 sales.
Yeah, and that's a little bit interesting, but I think those buyers were a lot of people too that took a pretty heavy hit on the markets and saw this coming as the interest rates rose and figured that down the road somewhere they're going to hopefully take advantage of that. And, they could very well be back this year.
Well, and not only that, our prices went up in what was supposedly this down year last year, which, as I said, was actually slightly above average. So our median price is $2.45 million in town, which is just shocking. I mean, when you think about it, we had only a little while ago, our median price was $1.87 million in 2019. So we're up 30% from there. We're even up 6.5% from last year's record. And that's because of we still have much more demand than we have inventory. Yes, demand is down. And where we really saw it drop, curiously, was at the high end, not the low end, which you would think would be a lot more interest sensitive.
Yeah, but didn't a lot of that due to also one of the most attractive areas of sales in 2022 was between that 2 and 3 million or 2 and 4 million range, which, dragged the median price, up. So you had a lot more sales up in the, 2 to 5 million than in the lower. And the lower part, mainly it goes back to that first word you mentioned when we came on the air was inventory. We just didn't have a lot of inventory at the low end of the market.
And that's a significant point. But if you take a look at the price per square foot, which is much less dependent on the mix of what's selling, average jumps all around, particularly in Greenwich, where we have a very high end. If you get a few more sales at the very high end, our average price jumps up a lot. The median price still goes up a little bit because the mix is changing. But last year, our sales price per square foot was $669 per square foot. That was up 12.7% from last year.
Yeah, so, and one thing that people have to understand is when we quote things of all the prices, we're looking at all of Greenwich. The thing you'll find that anybody knowing Greenwich well, that each area, whether it be Glenville, Pemberwick, Coscott, Riverside, Old Greenwich, they're each going to have a different per square foot number given the sales that happened either in that area, in the zip code, or in the elementary or middle school. So, you know, this is the average. You know, there's definitely areas above that, like Old Greenwich, Riverside, Mid-Country, they get above that average, and they're clearly ones that are below that, too.
You know, and that's exactly right. The other couple of caveats is the number that we're quoting are the numbers that apply to the single-family home market, which got listed on the Greenwich MLS. Like last year, our highest sale for the entire year was $17.6 million in backcountry. But there were two sales, one at $21 million and one at $25 million, also in backcountry, which weren't reported and aren't in these numbers. And those numbers in and of themselves would have brought the average up significantly. So, yeah, take these with a grain of salt. But we're still looking, and Russ just pulled up the number for me. We're looking at 127 listings right now. So if you got a house you're thinking about putting on, and Russ,
we'll talk about that in a little bit,
this is a great time to do it because the demand is there. We've had several houses that have come on under $1.5 million that have gone to multiple bids. The one area, as I said, where we do see some weakness is above $10 million. We've got 29 months of supply. And when you take the December sales and annualize them from $5 to $6.5 million, we got 19 months of supply, and 6.5 to 10, we've got 11 months. So that's become a buyer's market given the demand that we had in December.
Yeah, I think some of the best advice we can give to people who are on the market with their homes right now, as well as people coming on the market, even though we have incredibly low inventory at the present time, it wouldn't be a bad time to get your listing broker to come back in and look at doing a comparative market analysis, which we call a CMA, but using only sales that basically closed in the last 5 months.
And I would even say the last 3 months.
Yeah, it could be. At least September on, because that doesn't reflect those. That rise in interest rates sort of, you know, came in the April, May timeframe and continued on to where it is today. And, you know, so we're looking at those sales could have happened and not closed until August, September. So, you know, the last quarter might really start to reflect the new market out there.
And you really see that in the numbers. Last year, as I said, we had a normal number of sales, but the way we got there was very abnormal. In our first quarter, we had 142 sales. That compares to normally 104 sales, so we were up 40%. Then we had two average quarters, and then our last quarter, we only had 103 sales. Normally, we would have 150. So that's down 50%. So we went from 40% up in the first quarter to 50% down in the 33% down in the fourth quarter. And Russ has longer experience than I do, but in my career, I have never seen this rapid a change in a market where you go from what was an incredibly pro-seller market, and it still is, but over $5 million, we switched to a pro-buyer's market in six, eight weeks.
Yeah, and again, I mean, you know, no, we haven't seen a rise in interest rates and the concern about inflation at the level that it's been at. You know, everybody is sort of anesthetized to low interest rates, low inflation, and, you know, high inventory. And, you know, that's a very good market to be selling in. And now we're looking at, you know, high inflation, higher interest rates. But I think people are starting to realize the new reality of, you know, what they can really get when interest rates, mortgage rates are anywhere from around 6% and above. You know, that's twice as large as or twice as high as it was in the first quarter of 2022.
Yeah, but it is still less than half of what Russ and I paid for the interest rate on our first house back in 1986. So, yeah, I mean, historically, 6-7% is not that much. I mean, traditionally, they teach you that your interest rates are generally about 3% above your inflation rate. It's because the banks have to make money. They can't loan out money and then get the same money back at a later time that's worth less because of inflation.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that the talking heads on all TV shows, whether it be Nightly News or CNBC, MSNBC, CNN, you know, are basically, you know, it's like the sky's falling. You know, they've got to try to sensationalize, you know, what's going on. And, you know, when you really get down to it, it's not a bad time to still buy a house. You know, yes, it's going to cost you a little bit more on a monthly payment. Sellers might have to take maybe a little bit less than they think they're going to get. But in the end, the great thing about a single family home, condominium or whatever, is that, you know, you don't get to live in a stock or a bond, but you get to live in a house and build memories, you know, with your family.
And that's exactly right. I mean, when we were growing up in the 70s and 80s, we had some periods of pretty high inflation, and people were investing in their houses. They were buying the largest house or the highest priced house that they could get financed. I had a friend who graduated from Dartmouth with me, and about 6 years later, he buys his first house, and it was down on the Belhaven Peninsula. The house was 9,000 square feet. He had a baby that was 1 year old, and they didn't have enough money to furnish half the rooms, but he ended up making out like a bandit on the sale 8 years later.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it was for a long time. If you bought a house, within 7 years, it would double in value. You would then trade up and go to the next level as you had children and all of that. That's the house you probably spent the most time in. And then you looked at selling and either trading down or moving somewhere else.
I mean, yeah. And when we were growing up and you had consistent, there were a couple of years where it was back-to-back double digits increases. People would buy their starter home. They would fix it up, or maybe not fix it up, because they knew in 3 to 4 years they would have twice the equity that they had in it before. Housing is about the only place where normal individuals can get a 4-to-1 ratio on their investments. You put an 80% mortgage down, actually there's a fair amount of 90% money out there. So you buy a house for $1 million, you only put down $100,000, it goes up to $1.1 million, you've doubled your money. And had the bank take a lot of that risk in case it does go down, which, given our low inventory, I just don't see happening that much.
And I still think, you know, given all this stuff that we're talking about, I think if we get inventory, 2022 is still going to be a great year. Well, folks, we're going to do something coming up that we've never done before, a little, as we would call it, a crossover show. We've got coming up two of the gurus of Greenwich real estate going to join us, Gideon Fountain and Jonathan Wilcox, who do a similar show to ours.
It's called, a very different show, but yeah, it's about Greenwich real estate.
Yeah, called Your Greenwich Home. And we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what they believe is going to happen in 2023, and just a little bit about all of our hometowns.
This is like a total Greenwich real estate brain trust as to how we know what's going to happen and don't know anything.
So we're going to take a short break here on Greenwich Streets, and we'll be back with the gurus of Greenwich real estate in a moment.
Rand Insurance has been part of the Greenwich community since 1938, and we're located next to the J House in Riverside. We've been helping successful individuals, families, and local businesses with their insurance needs for over 80 years. Contact the Rand experts for insurance for your home, cars, and business, as well as cyber insurance and coverage for your jewelry, wine collection, and vintage cars. Get in touch with us at 203-637-1006 or at randinsurance.com. Experience the Rand difference.
every Tuesday morning at 9, the curtain goes up on Center Stage with Pamela Kuhn, focusing on arts and entertainment. Pamela searches for the artist's creative journey and interviews guests ranging from singers, musicians, dancers, actors, visual artists, and authors. It's the show about the artists and their craft and the personal stories that make up their incredible lives. That's Center Stage every Tuesday morning at 9 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
We're back here on Greenwich Streets. I'm Russell Pruner. With me is my brother, Mark. We're realtors in town at Compass. Been long-time residents of Greenwich. And with us today, we've got two other long-time residents of Greenwich, Gideon Fountain and Jonathan Wilcox, from their show on Wednesdays at 10, which is called Your Greenwich Home. Gideon, Jonathan, it's great to have you on, and it's just great to see you. I mean, we've got over 200 years or plus in Greenwich here between the four of us, and then Tim Agro in the back is a youngster at 28, so maybe it's 228.
228 years of haunting Greenwich, all of us here.
Exactly. It's great to have you both here with us. You know, we talked a little bit, you know, before the break about sort of what's going on right now, but before we do that, tell the people a little bit about your show and what you guys do.
It's not, as you said, it's not too different. Your Greenwich House that John and I do is just talking about what's selling right now and what isn't selling. You can talk about a listing that's not selling without slamming the broker. You know, that's the idea. I'm not trying to embarrass the listing agents, because most of the time, as you guys well know, it's the seller. The seller is the problem, and the agent is working on them. I have a situation like that right now. Our job as a listing agent, your job is to gently, gradually put pressure on the seller. If they're getting 50 showings and no offers, we all know why that is. It's not because there's a cat pan smell. It's because the price is wrong.
Exactly.
Or the dog in the basement. It's always
the
price.
Yeah, right.
It's always wet.
Exactly.
It causes a lot of problems. Gideon has been saying, you guys are probably saying the same thing, is we're not seeing huge price increases and bidding wars. We see a little bit of it, but it's got to be priced right.
Yeah.
As I think you guys agree.
I think that was a big fourth quarter change, was all of a sudden people wouldn't buy a house just to have a house. It had to be a good value for them.
So is it going to be a buyer's market? Are we going to shift into a buyer's market for 2023? Because for that to happen, we need inventory. As long as we don't have inventory, we have a seller's market.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I mean, you look at months of supply, and that, to me, defines what's going on with the market. If you have more than 6 months of supply, yeah, you've got a buyer's market.
Mm-hmm.
We only have that in one price category, over $10 million.
Yes.
And then from $5 to $10 million, we only got into that if you take the sales in December, which are, you know, we were down by half. We only had 34 sales. So this is really speculating. But the sales over $5 million were very slow in December. And when you annualize that, you do get well over six months of supply.
Hmm. But Jonathan, yeah, what do you think, Jonathan's going to happen here in the first quarter or maybe the first half of 2023?
I think it's going to be slow right now due to the economy.
Yeah.
More than even interest rates, but interest rates are obviously important.
Yeah.
But the economy is not growing out here. We've just had a ton of financial firms move out here. Now the question is, have they all bought?
Yeah.
There's something like 80% of all, you know, commercial office leasing in Fairfield County is financial firms coming out of the city or opening new offices.
Yeah, I read something the other day that I think the vacancy rate in Greenwich is the lowest in Connecticut, and somewhere less than 5%.
Less than 5%?
Downtown, they're saying.
Yeah, John,
that's
the real
really
deal.
Incredible for commercial.
Yes.
5.8% in the CBD here downtown.
Yeah.
Right.
Central Business District.
Yeah.
They want $90 up at Pickwick Plaza.
Wow.
They want 110 110. Wheaton building.
145 Mason, right over here.
They want $110 a foot they're going out.
Yeah, and they're redoing that whole building, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Garden State Brickface, by the way.
And I think that's a lot of the work from home thing is this is work from your neighborhood as opposed to going into New York City.
Excellent point, which is why they now...
The commute is a lot less.
They can't get the people to go back into New York, so they're saying, all right, let's set up shop where the people are, and the people are in Greenwich, their people. Wait, so you ever notice how we're all fussing and obsessing about the residential market? Meanwhile, the commercial market just bubbling along nicely, right? Big, huge numbers.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of people out there, I think, you know, the corporation is reading an article over the holidays that, you know, they have so much cash still available to them, and that if they do see something that, you know, is attractive, you know, they'll pay up for it, you know, looking more long term. And also, Jonathan, you know, you've had a couple big sales of
100
places here. Yeah. You know, recently.
100 million plus sales, right? Or no, 200 something.
Gosh. At 200, if that's the number, it's $1,290 a foot. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Pickwick went for nine. When Cabrera and Company sold it, they got something like $965 a foot.
That's the top of Greenwich Avenue?
Yeah, our Pickwick Plaza.
Yeah, exactly.
We were looking into space up there, and my friend Jay Rusk over Cushman & Wakefield said, nah, it's got to be $90 a foot. And it's basically, it should be call center space.
Yeah,
right. I'm like, it's in the rear. It's got some windows. It's near David Hopper's office.
What'd you call it? Call center space?
Yeah, it should be call center.
You put your boiler, your back room.
Yeah, but that's what cracked me up. I was down at the building across from what was the theater, and they had a call center in there. And you know, and that space is the most expensive space in Greenwich.
So that's a Fawcett building? Is that what you're calling
it? No, I'm talking
across
about
from
the,
a movie
this
theater.
This is across from Railroad Avenue, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. By the way, I highly recommend to the listeners.
Oh, 55.
Go to the Pruner website, GreenwichStreets.com. That's very, very good. And if you read nothing else, read this one called Russell and Mark Pruner's Ultimate Guide to Selling Your Home in Old Greenwich. That's very good. I mean, it is. It's great advice, man.
We grew up there, so we know a little bit about that area.
Exactly. I love the specificity of it. The Ultimate Guide to Selling Your Home in Old Greenwich. Right. Not the rest of the town, necessarily.
Give us a tidbit.
Well, I mean,
hire
a local real estate team. That's always good advice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you guys both Riverside guys?
I'm a lifer Riverside.
I'm Costco.
Yeah, both of us. Yeah, well, okay. But he grew up in Riverside. Yeah, yeah.
I'm
over at Palmer Point.
Yeah, because there was always the Innes Arden Riverside Club battles.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And swimming and everything like that.
I played more golf for free at Innes.
That's because Butchie was there and you guys
were. And Benninghoff and Yalock.
Yeah, exactly.
Every Monday we're out
there.
They
never build anybody under 5 feet. So, you know, if you're out there young, you were good.
Is it too late for Innes to build, John? I wonder if it isn't.
Exactly.
There's
exactly.
No statute of limitations.
I'm sure we can find. What? As an ex-president of the club, I'm sure we can find a way to bill them.
All four of us went to Eastern Junior High School, correct? Okay, just checking.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Hey, Jonathan, one of the things that always amazed me is your old family home down in Willowmere.
Yeah.
I went by it so many times, and it's the only house in 37 years of doing business that the people kept the second floor, not the first floor, kept the second floor, built a first floor, and put the second floor down on it. I could not believe it.
Well, that's going on all over Fairfield. You see that?
Yeah.
Here we see a bit of it.
Yeah.
But they've been jacking stuff up crazily. Yeah.
But to jack up a second floor and not take the second floor off and start from scratch,
must have had incredible bedrooms, but not that much on the kitchen.
Well, they completely reconfigured. They gutted the thing and then restructured floors.
Yeah,
there was
a
big master in that place.
Yeah,
probably 600 square feet with a big master bath, which was very easy to do because all you had to do was extend a roof line over a porch, second floor porch. They put a third floor on this thing.
Yeah.
And I just I went in there one day and I said, if you want to know anything about the waterfront, the amenities, I can answer anything about docks.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm the authority on it. And we even have pictures on. So I didn't hear from anybody. Whitney got the call to go down and see
them. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
So you can, if you've got historical, you know, facts, pictures and everything else, you can put docks where they once were. We had huge docks. We had a Riverside Yacht Club dock that we hauled around. The point.
Did the yacht club know about that?
I believe Joe and I did that in the middle of the night.
Middle of the night.
Yeah, there you go.
No, we just took it. Yeah. Probably with Alan, with Alan Lovejoy. Probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wasn't there a doc here yesterday?
Exactly. You know, guys, given you know, the longevity, I would say, that we've been, you know, in town and all that, you know, what's has probably hit you the most about the changes that we've seen in Greenwich?
That's what buyers ask me all the time, like when they discover, when I explain to them that I'm a long and old, you know, a townie, they want to know what big changes I've observed. I can't say that. I mean, maybe it's because it's so gradual. That, I mean, I think
The last big change was the corporations moving out in the 80s.
Not moving out here,
with
right.
The crack epidemics and the mental patients being released.
Yes.
And blaming it on radio.
And we got two of them on radio
right.
with us today.
I was just going to say, all right, the ranks of realtors swelled when the mental patients got released. That's interesting. What does that mean?
It's a good correlation.
Yeah,
exactly. One to one.
But I mean, there's more wealth.
That was 40 years ago. Yeah. That is one thing.
It's much more wealth.
We used to have a much more diverse community with you know, people who worked in auto body shops and people who were CEOs and old Greenwich when we grew up there was a moderate income section. It was all it was advertising executives, real banking executives
TV
who worked
people.
For like Chess, and media people.
Yes, right.
And they generally tended to be at the middle level of the company.
You know, it always struck me different. I remember our fathers that would get on the train every day, going to New York and work, and then come home. But if you looked at their briefcase was so beat up, had duct tape around to hold the handle on, and they were driving a car that had prided themselves about the fact that, hey, guess what? My station car got to the station and home again. You go look at every freaking railroad station now. I mean, the quality
Mercedes
of the cars
is
in
all
there.
Over the place.
And again, suits maybe have gone out of style, but briefcases and stuff like that. I mean, you know, that I think is the most noticeable thing I've seen.
The other change is the blasted train schedule. One, it's the same red and white train schedule that they had in the 1960s.
Yeah.
The time in New York is almost exactly the same.
By the way, listener Tom Broadhurst has just pointed out to me by text a very substantial change. You guys will all agree. Death of the mom and pop stores in Greenwich.
Big time.
We lost them all.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think Ms. Morrissey/O'Malley has kept Hoagland's alive, and maybe the Mitchell family has kept Richards.
I think
you're right. Unless you own the building, I think you're beholden to the landlord that happened to be in the building that you've known for years.
Yeah.
And all of that. And then as your lease came up, and it might have been a 20-year lease, all of a sudden you're
500% rent increase.
Exactly. Right. And, you know, I think it drove them out or made them go to other areas that, you know, weren't on the main avenue or the main post road.
It's funny. I met the owner of Mead's and the owner of Mark's Brothers Stationery.
Oh, man.
Two longtime institutions.
Greenwich Avenue, stalwarts.
They both still live here in town, but neither one of them are in retail.
Yeah.
And Mark's was the only place we could get the 16-ring binder.
Remember the 16-ring binder? You guys, when we got in, and by the way, Tom Broder is available for your services at real estate for Sotheby's, for Tom Broder. The ring,
there you go.
When Pruners and I got in, you were doing commercial back then, young Wilcox.
Yeah.
So you had each listing was represented by a piece of paper with little holes on the side. On the end. And each piece of paper was about the size of maybe twice the size of a dollar bill, let's say.
Yeah.
And it had, if you were lucky, a black and white blurry picture on the back.
Exactly.
And then a description, very brief description, you know, in the usual format of how many bedrooms and that kind of thing. And when you got in, you had to go and copy your fellow agents' pieces of paper, right?
Yeah,
like you had to make your book.
Yeah,
there was no printed
about
book.
That big.
They came out a weekly, and if you were joining the business, you had to catch up and get 500 listings.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that was extraordinary about that time is that every realtor that was really active knew the inventory because you were touching those pieces of paper every single day.
Yes.
Price change, a comment change, or something like that. And now, you know, we don't even have books anymore. So it's like...
And you're disappointed, aren't you?
In a way, It makes you, I think it makes you a better realtor because you're a lot more in tune with what each listing has.
In the old days. Yeah, I know. I agree. Remember, you know, David Ogilvy, famed realtor, got in before all of us, of course. He really didn't want pictures. He really fiercely fought the idea of having a photograph on the listing because he thought that he said, how are we ever going to sell contemporaries? If we can't get people out there to see, you know, what a nice house it is, they'll reject it up front. They'll say, no, I don't want to see it, and that'll take care of it. But, of course, he lost that battle.
You know, some of the other great things, too, was Rene Anselmo.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to go plant daffodils along North Street, you know, myself. And then, you know, the signs, and many of them are, you know, he got rid of real estate signs in Greenwich.
He did not want real estate signs. He hated real estate signs. He also didn't like the Greenwich Time tube that was put up beneath people's mailboxes.
Oh, yeah.
He hated that.
I didn't know that.
Oh, he hated that.
He used to drive around in his Rolls Royce with his chauffeur whose name was Prophet. And they would
they would
pick up real estate signs, and then he would let the firm know that they could come get their sign.
And
my understanding is practically nobody did.
Yeah, I think the one thing he did, which I thought down in one of the few towns that does have a croquet court, you know, down in Bruce Park, he didn't like the chain link fence.
Yes.
So he came and put up a white picket fence. And so they were putting it up, and the guys from DPW come in and go,
what are you doing here?
What are you doing here? So we're putting up a new fence. And who said you could do that? Said Mr. Anselmo said he sent us down here to put it up.
By the way,
they got a white picket fence.
And where else did he do that? Hamilton Avenue School. He hated the look. He thought it looked like a reformatory. By the way, we're talking about an eccentric multimillionaire, Rene Anselmo.
Pan Am sat and made all his money because they were the first ones to have privately owned satellites.
And he took a chance. He couldn't get insurance. So when he sent up that that first satellite, all of his fortune rode on that rocket launch, and had it blown up, that would have been it. So he rolled the dice for his entire.
He took
over
what was a bankrupt situation. They had a bunch of satellites up already.
Oh, really?
So he did launched some new stuff, but he took over like 25 satellites.
Yeah. Yeah.
But someone like a Motorola.
He was an early
Elon Musk.
Yeah.
And he put a white picket fence around Hamilton Avenue School, made it look much more pleasant. And since then,
the town's put a lot of money.
If you see the white wooden street signs
that
we see on many of our streets, those were all initiated by him. Some of them he conned the neighborhoods into putting in. And then some of the neighborhoods that weren't as well-to-do, he went and put up the wooden, black and white wooden signs.
I think he would have preferred the word persuaded con.
Exactly. But, you know, we miss in many cases, I think, personalities like that.
Yes, yeah.
You know,
sure.
In Greenwich. But again, it was a kinder, gentler Greenwich. I mean, I would hate to look at what the zoning code was back then and what the zoning code is today.
We've got Ray Dalio, who does a great town party every
true.
Year. He's been a big benefactor of the town. They put in walkways in Bruce Park. The fact that it's also where his wife walks each morning. But still, he's been a great benefactor.
Well,
so we've still got some characters.
How about the Junior League and what they've done in this town? It's been incredible.
You know what? I did a little fundraising for them. I was their auctioneer at the teen center in December. No, they didn't let me in.
Not without a skirt.
So they. I had to look through the list of their accomplishments of the Junior League of Greenwich. It's just amazing. It's not just the swimming pool in Byram.
They
do these things where they empower boys and girls separately, different, like they have these sessions, I guess, and they learn how, you know, girls learn to not be intimidated by little cliques that are, you know, how kids can be very cruel to each other.
Yeah.
So one of the things the Junior League does is they get to these kids and they talk to them and they say, hey, they give them the resources, the mental resources to deal with the typical, you know, what should we say, the mental anguishes of teen years. It's very tough. It sounds these days, you know, you look back and you go, oh, come on, why was I making such a big deal? But it is a big deal when you're a 14-year-old and the little group that you think is your friends are all turning on you. That's very tough.
Yeah. You know, another place that's, you know, we all spent a lot of time at growing up was the Eggman Center, which is the Greenwich Civic Center. And it's great that the Cohens
Eastern
came
Greenwich
in, Eastern Greenwich Civic Center, came in and sort of probably.
Under construction.
Private partnership, you know, rebuilding that right now, which will be interesting to see what that looks like when it's done.
Speaking of which, I drove by the almost, I would say, nearly completed new, brand new clubhouse at Innes Arden Golf Club. How's that looking? Is that, how? What stage of level?
Well, they'll open it in Labor Day, Memorial Day this year.
Oh, Memorial Day. Wow, so cool.
By the way, if you go over to GreenwichStreets.com, there is a view, an aerial view, sweeping through Old Greenwich, and I'm looking at it, it has Innes Arden, and there's this big box that I had never seen before, and it was a new clubhouse in Innes Arden, which was under construction. Luckily, it wasn't covered with yellow tie.
Hopefully, it's big enough.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Let's not build something.
I think it's going to be more than big enough.
No problem with big enough.
Yeah, before we get too far into this, we're going to take a short break here on Greenwich Streets, and we'll be back with the four of us in a moment.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I need to tell you, I'm 81 years old. I've been taking these now for about 2 months. I am so happy. I'm telling everybody about you. I am just so pleased, but I just feel wonderful. I never felt so good in my life.
I really thought that, you know, this is just another gimmick. You know, that this wasn't really a real good vitamin. I just thought it was just another vitamin on the TV. And so my husband said, well, why don't you order them and let's try them? He said, because we don't eat right anyway. And we tried them, and about a week, we started feeling much better.
Start your journey. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get free shipping. And don't forget to get 35% off your first preferred order by using discount code Laura.
We're back here on Greenwich Streets. We're with the gurus of Greenwich real estate today, Gideon Fountain and Jonathan Wilcox, who do a show on Wednesdays at 10, which is called Your Greenwich Homes, or Your Greenwich House, excuse me. And we've been talking a little bit about the old days when we all grew up here with over 200 years here in Greenwich with the four of us. And, you know, let's go back to sort of what we were going to talk about to begin with, a little bit about what do you guys think, you know, really is going to happen? You know, where do you think the bright spots will be in 2023 and, you know, maybe where some of the not so bright spots might be?
I've got an inkling, for just based on my listing activity, that 2023 will be, I think, more of the same. I think we'll still have a shortage of inventory. Therefore, prices will remain firm, maybe not growing, but certainly firm. Do you guys sense that there's going to be an increase?
The average single-family home will not fall by much.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
We're back to $3 million.
We're over $3 million.
That's our average. Our median
right
is 2.45, and that's up 6.5%.
I heard
But we were up 12.7% on a price per square foot, which is a much better indicator because, as Russ said, one of the reasons we didn't appear to grow as much as we did was because we did have a significant drop-off at the high end, over $10 million, but we had a marvelous $4 to $5
million
range.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, what you guys, I brought Cherry Valley Road on in late December at priced at $2 million, and it's, I guess I can reveal it's a pending deal now. It didn't go quite $400,000 over ask, but it's in that vicinity. So that's and that was, you know, 20 showings in 3 days.
Yeah. You were talking, you know, I think it's all inventory. And I one of the things I do think we may see happen is that we see a faster rise in inventory than normal because we've got a lot of gridlock people. And so we have people that would like to sell their house, but they don't have anywhere to go. So once a little inventory comes on, those people buy that, they open up their house, and we could see a nice spurt in inventory, getting up to 600, 700 listings like we've had in past years. You know,
you don't
if
see
we
that?
Get to 400, I'll be very happy.
Yeah, yep.
Your two listings you brought on for around $2 million when you called in, to our show last week.
Yeah.
What happened? Are those on?
They're basically off the market right now. We're doing some minor adjustments to the interior to try and maybe appeal a little bit more to a wider audience. But, you know, they wanted to take a little bit of time off. They bought something else, and they're, you know, looking at, you know, getting that ready, getting stuff moved over there. So it will be back on. And with only 127 listings that are on the market right now.
That's amazing. You know,
those are going to move.
Yeah.
Those two houses.
They got to move.
And the other thing, of those 127 listings, there are only about 35 that came on in the last 2 months. So as Gideon was saying, now's a good time for those other 80 people to be taking a look and seeing just where they are.
Yeah, if you didn't sell in this great market, this is the seller's market of all time. If your house isn't selling in this under these circumstances, then there's only one reason. It's got to be your price.
It's your price, baby.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll plug for putting Get Inventory. I mean, for those that don't know, I just put my house on the market today.
I put his house on the market. He's
Mark put it on the market. I didn't want to go through and have everybody, you know, say here and there. But
that's a smart thing. That's smart.
And what we did is try to price it very, very good or to the market or even below the market in hopes that we get a lot of activity.
Yeah. You'll get immediate activity, yeah.
I'm certain.
One
of the things Russ did was he priced it at $1.5 million.
Yes.
So that gets the searches from $1 million to $1.5 million and also from $1.5 million to $2 million,
yeah.
Which is the disadvantage if you price it at $1.449 million.
Because then you miss. Oh, yes,
everybody
very good.
Everybody's searching from $1.5 million to $1.8 million or $2 million. We'll never see that listing.
Yeah. So I think, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, come Thursday and then over the weekend we'll do some open houses. But, you know, I looked at when we were priced, we're the only thing in the North Street School District between $1.3 million and almost $2 million.
The only thing for sale.
Yeah. You're gonna, one other house, I think, up in Old Stone Bridge.
I've got
that's up there.
A little farmhouse on Lake Avenue. It's been on the market for several months now, right? And this weekend I had six showings. It's 1395. Six showings over the weekend.
Yeah. January.
Yeah. I think our sellers need to be reminded this is the market right now. This that spring, so-called spring market you're waiting for. This is it. They're,
as long
buyers
as
are crazy.
Go now. People are out there buying.
Heavy snow can kill it.
And up to $3 million, we have plenty of people who would love to buy in Greenwich.
Yeah. You know, the question really is in the spring market, and I think it's going to be, again, this year is how deep is the demand and how quickly can we wring out the demand? You know, usually, as Gideon said, I mean, you're really sort of starting to the inventory to rise, maybe not even until early February. You know, it's always been, I've always said that after Super Bowl Sunday, we start to see it rise. But you also then get into the fits and starts of the different school breaks.
Yes.
The winter breaks. Then Brunswick goes out and GA for 2 weeks.
Kills momentum.
Yeah.
Kills
momentum.
Everybody, remember, you know that feeling? Every year I have to remind myself, oh, yeah, it's the damn this school or that school. Everything's going along nicely. And then it just drops. The activity level disappears.
Yeah. And usually the public schools and the private schools have their vacations back to back. So the public schools will be 1 week, and the following week will be the private schools. So depending on your price point, you want to avoid 1 week or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
The other thing that people have got to realize, too, is that, you know, we need the other markets to move. We need New York's market to move.
Yeah.
We need Westchester's market to move, because then frees up buyers then to be able to come out. Not everybody can come out and basically carry something, you know, another property somewhere else and buy the next property. They really need to sell the property or get it under contract, and then that causes those buyers to start to come out and come to us and then up the line maybe in Connecticut.
Yeah. Yeah, our inventory, wouldn't you agree, John, comes from Manhattan? I mean, our inventory of buyers, we're very dependent
Westchester
upon Manhattan and Westchester.
And Manhattan.
Yeah. I've had now three listings sell just from one town, all buyers coming from one town, Armonk.
Really?
Three Armonk buyers in the last, I would say, 18 months have bought. Yeah. Not they weren't my customers. Other brokers
so,
had
unlike
them.
You all, I actually live in backcountry in the house my wife grew up in.
Wow.
And Armonk has turned into this wonderful community. If you haven't been there, there's like eight
Cinderella.
Very nice restaurants.
There are eight restaurants in Armonk?
Yeah. And they're good restaurants.
Yeah.
They got a great Japanese place. They've got a great Greek place. They've got a Fortina. The grocery
store.
Are
we talking about Greenwich here? We talking about Greenwich here.
For us backcountry people, Armonk is
the
part
town.
Of Greenwich.
Armonk, Northern Greenwich, that's the town.
And that's a feature for backcountry Greenwich residents can go wherever they want. They can go down to Greenwich Avenue, but it's nice to have
it's
this alternative.
Minutes.
Yeah. To Armonk is also 15 minutes?
Yeah. Oh,
it's less.
I left the house this morning panicking at 9:43 to see if I was going to get here, and I pulled up at 9:57.
There you go.
So,
and you know, three cops trailing you the whole way.
Yeah, going back to
pull
the
over
house.
And a fire engine.
No, it actually was a heavy traffic. I was stuck behind the slow lady in a Corolla.
Yeah, going back to the house that we had on at 35 Sterling, a beautiful contemporary on 5 acres. We had an open house late in the year
on Sterling Road.
On Sterling Road,
yeah, yep. As far back as you can get, back north.
Really, and the house across the pond is on the New York border.
Yes, yeah. Right there you go. So
and we had a
right
bunch of New York agents come, and they were like, "What are the taxes here?" That's $17,000.
And they said, no, what, per year? What are they per year?
Actually, that's exactly right. Some person said, that's per month?
Yeah.
And exactly. I said, no.
So, well, it is, I think, the reason, going back, getting to what you were talking about, people coming from Armonk are saying, I'm tired. I don't want to pay these anymore.
Right. They wake up in the morning. Crazy. They owe the town $70,000. They come step over the line into Greenwich, and it drops to $16,000.
I know. Yeah. Every year they're sending a kid to school.
Well, yeah.
They're in college.
If you take a look at the map of the sales for 2022, there is a huge number grouped right all across the border in Pembroke and Glenville and further up the line, and then also just on the northern border. Because we've got a ton of people that have moved over from Rye, Armonk, Bedford, Chappaqua, who want to be close to their friends. And they like the fact that it's only another 3 minutes to get to where they're going. And the taxes are one-third.
And they keep their doctors back in their hometown or whatever, their dentists
changes.
And stuff. They can still go back and forth. Yeah, so they don't move often. They don't move that far from the border.
Yeah.
But they just want to get that tax relief.
And they can still shop in Oregon.
Remember, taxes are 3% of value. In a lot of these towns.
Yeah.
Here we're half of 1%.
I know.
Or 6/10. Yeah, 7/10.
So our tax, our mill rate actually went down on the revaluation. And so you're now looking at $8,100 if you got a sewer and $7,900 per $1 million if you don't have a sewer.
That's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of people are, you know, finally realizing. It's like, the one thing you do, you pay up to get into Greenwich.
Yes.
But the thing, you know, we're here again 200 years of in Greenwich between the four of us. I mean, the thing is, it's just amazing what this town offers, whether park and recreation, you know, being able to have the sewer system, the water and all of that, that we deal with the schools, the shopping, the restaurants. I mean, I don't know that there are many towns that offers the diversity of population, diversity of land, and then offers this many amenities.
Yep. Yeah. No.
Yeah, I always call it's like a cruise ship. The cabin isn't quite as big as you might like, but you get a whole list of things under your door every day of to do. I mean, 4 beaches, 4 libraries, a skating rink.
8 golf courses, for God's sake.
8 golf courses, 10 elementaries. It's amazing what you get. I mean, our budget is pushing, when you throw in the capital budget, is pushing $500 million for a town of 63,000 people.
How much does education take out of that? Like
330?
40%.
Yeah.
So it's around 170, 180 million out of the 460 or 450, I think, that the budget is. And, you know, again, everyone at Mike's right now, we all went to public schools.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
We barely made it out of there, but we did.
That high school was a lot of fun.
Those
were great years.
I mean, and it was funny because they had a syllabus that you got of courses that you could take. I went to Dartmouth. The syllabus was almost exactly the same size. At that school, we had about the same number of courses you could take at Greenwich High. You could take Mandarin. You could take Chaucer.
Were you an engineering major up there?
No, I was a biology and economics major.
Oh, really?
I was going to go into farming.
Perfect for real estate.
Not really.
Farming, yeah.
Yeah, that might be big now that you can grow weed on three weed plants on your property.
Well, Vermont's right over a stone's throw away. You can grow all the weed you want up there. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Our board operator today, Bob Small, is being strangely quiet. Bob, how do you explain that?
We got 4 mics here.
Oh, that's true.
Right
now he's got no mic. No wonder he's quiet.
He's been mouthing stuff the whole time.
Exactly.
You just haven't heard him.
Let's take it.
You can't hear him.
I didn't realize it was so easy. We just take his mic away.
We need a whiteboard.
Exactly.
Yeah, whiteboard, exactly.
Exactly. Right. Looking back at 2023 or looking forward to 2023, do you think the higher end of the market, you know, over that $10 million is going to come back or not?
Somebody's just got a deal of contract signed. It's a continuing contract in the range of $14 million. Who is it? Do you remember that? Who did that? What's her name?
Yeah.
don't know. I'm getting older, getting my money.
You guys talk about people on your program. We just talk about numbers.
I like to give the.
He doesn't like the per square foot.
How much better old Greenwich was when it was old.
Or the multiple of assessment.
Right, exactly.
I want to give the broker a plug when I can. What's now? Come on. Something. It was a big deal. 14 and change. That's a good sign.
Think of area. What area? Was it down in
Central Greenwich?
Sounds like.
I mean, mid.
Yeah, but
was it Belhaven?
So much of our high end got hammered because of what I call loss of wealth or low, because there were a lot of people. You had $100 million in assets, and your stocks and your bonds both went down. And now you got $80 million. Are you going to buy a $10 million house?
No,
though you got
$80 million. Chilling effect.
But and that's why I think we're seeing pretty good sales from $4 million to $6 million, at least until December.
Yeah, another thing I think is going to push this market that a lot of people don't talk about that much, but we're in the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of the United States. And, especially coming out of COVID too, I'm sorry to say some of the people passed earlier than they should.
Right.
So there's a tremendous amount of wealth being passed to the next generation, which I think for the people in town, there's some people who didn't change their life. The husband has the same job, wife's doing whatever they're doing and a job also. But yet now they're buying this multi-million dollar home and, come to find out it was due to the fact of the wealth transfer that happened. So I think that's going to continue not only here in Greenwich, but all over the United States, which could buoy well for sales here, too.
But where you notice, Russ, that the 20-plus million range, that was really scarce this past year.
Yep.
And any broker with a 30-plus million dollar listing ended up doing lots and lots of marketing
for
nothing.
Yeah. I mean, our highest sale on market was 17.6.
Over there.
21 and a 25 off market.
Right.
But, I mean, that was it. Whereas in 2021, we had a $45 million sale at Hill Figures and a $50 million sale down in Belhaven on Phil Point Circle.
I think, a couple of the reasons why. One, you're not seeing as much movement from overseas because it's hard to get a visa to get in here to work or live. So you're not buying. I'm not going to buy a $20 million house having somebody do a FaceTime walking around. So I think as that eases and more people come from overseas, because Greenwich has always been a great place to park money if you needed to instead of leaving it somewhere else. And, I think as we start to see corporations get back into, more full time, especially financial services, as those hire people, people are promoted or hired, I think you're going to find them wanting to come here.
I think
here.
What Jonathan said about that influx of finance bodes really well for Greenwich, because those people bring the money to buy the whole gamut of price ranges in Greenwich.
Yes,
I think it does somewhat, but a lot of people said that years ago when you had the IBMs and others that are here, even U.S. Tobacco and Cheeseboro and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like the Citadel moving in at 100 West Putnam, I mean, two or three people, came and looked at listings we had and stuff like that. They bought New Canaan. They said, I can go get so much more up there, still a number of them still, ended up coming here and buying here.
Russ and Mark and John, by the way,
okay, here we go.
Sotheby's own Tom Broadhurst and blogger Chris Fountain both have reminded me that 16 Deer Park Drive is the listing we were talking about. Deborah Ference Gray, formerly Jam Goshen, who's a phenomenal golfer, by the way.
Yeah.
She was the listing agent, $14,950,000. That place was reported a contract in the last couple of days. And $14,950 is a nice big number to start the year on.
And I think if you're going to see big sales, I mean, everybody's going to get paid on Wall Street here soon. So those people that did do well and made money,
and
whatever.
I mean, they're talking about bonuses are going to be down. But we only have 63,000 people. We don't need all the bonuses to go up. There were a lot of contrarians who knew the market was going down.
Exactly.
Shorted, and they're sitting on tens and $50 million of gains.
Profits. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, guys, I can't thank you enough, Mark and I, for you coming on. Again, we had Gideon Fountain and Jonathan Wilcox with us. They do a great show Wednesdays at 10 called Your Greenwich House. And we wish you the best this year on the show, and we'll see you out and about.
Yeah, and actually, you can check out this broadcast on our podcast over at Greenwich Streets.
And on WGCH.com.
Right, WGCH also streams it.
But GreenwichStreets.com, I recommend that site, I got to say.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Guys, thank you so much, and looking forward to a great year.
Great way to start the new year.
Be good.
Bye.
This is your community radio station serving